I told it, Brother Herod's a month ago, I think it was, at my age and condition, I'm just glad to be anywhere. But I appreciate the Lord, and I've always had a special place in my heart for you folks here. And I think you know that. And I want to say I'm grateful for your kindness and thankful for the offering. I done something tonight on the way over here. I never do. I hate it with a passion. My wife loves to, and I can't stand it. But I was running just a little tad late. I stopped and had to get gas. I didn't know it until I got in the car, and it's almost on empty. So I stopped in Luray and filled it up and grabbed the sandwich. And as a result, I hate to eat in the car. I just hardly won't do it, but there are times when you do what you don't want to do. But I appreciate everybody being here that are here. And God is helping us over at Massanova. I'm grateful for God's help. If we get in help, it's got to come from Him. When we went back over, how long have you been here, brother?
5 years.
We went back over there 5 years ago, and it was down in the 30s. And Sunday we had 84. Isn't God good to us? So great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. You can be turning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. I'll probably read a good bit out of this chapter. That'll help you folks that haven't read any Bible today.
All right.
And I don't know about this granddaughter of mine. Hello. Thank you. She told me for every minute I went over 30 minutes, she's going to dock my pay. But you know what? I don't get mad. I get even. Praise God. She takes after her grandmother. I better leave that alone. I'm in trouble right there. In this fourth chapter of Genesis, before I start reading here, we're going to start reading at verse 1, and we're going to read a good bit. But how many of y'all remember Hurricane Katrina? Came through the Gulf Beach and down in that area. And I remember going down there not too long after it had happened to preach a meeting. And it happened in August of 2005. Let me just give you a little bit here. I'm settling down if y'all don't mind. And it was a Category 5 storm, but when it hit land, it was down to Category 3. It stretched from Florida all the way to Texas. I was at Gulfport, Mississippi, and I found out there's 1,836 people died. That's not counting the 135 that's missing. Boats and those great big casino barges, just about almost as large as this church, I guess, and houses, rammed buildings inland. and pushing cars and houses 6 to 12 miles inland. Terrible tragedy. Anybody here say amen? From the beach onward, they said there was property damage of $125 billion. Covered 90,000 square miles. Powerful 27-foot storm surge went all the way and crossed over Interstate 10. Beachfront neighborhoods was completely destroyed, leveled, wiped out. When I went down there after that storm of preaching in that area, the pastor took me down to that boulevard that's right next to the beach, and everything's gone. Everything's gone. And on one of those lots that were, I want the Lord to help me here tonight, on one of those lots that was beautiful homes, I mean expensive homes, somebody had put up a 8-foot long, 4-foot high piece of plywood with this written on it, the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I could use that for a text tonight. Amen. But Steve back there, you can just, whatever you want to put on there, be all right. But I'm going to read a good part, of this chapter, if you'll bear with us. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, starting at verse 1. You have it, say amen. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, we don't know how much time. Bible doesn't give us any clues, but evidently, amen, it's a good many years that took place here. In a process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel here. I want you to notice this eighth verse is where we want to come back to. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now, art thou cursed from the earth which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand? When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And thou shalt be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. You may be seated. In that verse, latter part of that verse 15, and this is not my text, I've heard a lot of people say that the mark that God put on Cain made him to be a black man. That's not true. Amen. The black branch of human race did not begin with Cain. All his line, all Cain's line perished in the flood of chapter 6. Amen. And if you to read on over further, you'll find out that all the races and the nationalities, the languages of the people came later during the days of Peleg, when the earth was divided in Genesis chapter 10. I just wanted to leave that with you. Amen. But I want us to look especially at verse 8 here tonight. Amen. Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Amen. I don't know. I wish I had a more shouting message for you tonight, but this is what I feel like I need to talk to you about. Amen. Everybody knows that the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And I think that fourth chapter throws a flashlight to us on the early history of man. It is the book of first things. In this fourth chapter, amen, in this fourth chapter alone, there are seven first things. Amen. The first father, first mother, the first birth, the first son, the first altar, the first murder, and the first death. Help me here. Amen. This is the beginning of man's history. The stream of humanity in this chapter is divided into two kinds of men. There are men with different characters and different destinies. Amen. I'm amazed at, and y'all will maybe relate to this thought. Amen. You have children, same father, same mother. If you've got two or three or four children, every one of them is different. Hello. I had two sons, so different. You wonder if the hospital got them mixed up somewhere. But here in this fourth chapter, these two brothers, same father, same mother, have such different characters about them, characteristics, and they have different destinies as well. Amen. The Bible doesn't want us to forget the tragedy of Abel and Cain. Amen. Jesus promised judgment on the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 35, he said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias. Amen. John writes in his first letter, amen, he said, ye heard from the beginning that we should love one another. not as Cain, who was a wicked one and slew his brother. Amen. And in the letter to the Hebrews, Paul writes, amen, when in the 11th chapter, when he's going through the roll call of the heroes, amen, he starts out, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen. And the author goes on to say, amen, you are come unto God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Don't forget Abel. Amen. In his fiery one chapter, Jude, amen, writes to us in describing evil men, unbelievers in his day. He writes, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So the Bible doesn't want us to forget this tragic story in this fourth chapter of Genesis. Amen. I think it is a tragedy in this family. The tragedy of Cain and Abel is between two brothers. Amen. I think some of the most stirring incidents in the Bible center around brothers. Amen. Here we have in this chapter Cain and Abel. And then later on we'll read about Isaac and Ishmael. And then we'll read about Jacob and Esau. And then you'll read about Absalom and Amnon. Amen. The Bible talks to us about James and John, Peter and Andrew, Joseph and his brethren. Amen. I think Joseph's story is one of the greatest in the Old Testament. Amen. Some of those biographies are sad, amen, and tragic, but yet some of them are really wonderful stories. Amen. There was a great day for the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. I want y'all to listen to me for a few minutes. Can I just take my time here? How many give me 5 minutes here? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Yeah, okay. Amen. You've had me do that before. Amen. But this first man and this first woman, Adam and Eve, can you imagine what it was like to them when Cain was born into their family, the first child ever born into the world? Adam and Eve was created. Come on here. Amen. When you look at the lapse of time, a child that is born in a family today, amen, come on here. I know people that's been married for 10 years and tried to have children and were unable and unsuccessful, and then after 10 or 15 years, lo and behold, they have a child. Amen. And to them, that is the most precious, amen, thing in all of their life. Amen. Is that precious baby. Help me here. Amen. Can you imagine the thrill of joy in this father and mother? Amen. Then I tell you, the joy that and wonder in the hearts of Adam and Eve when they looked upon, amen, the face of their first child and realized, too, that they are creators. Come on here. They created this baby. They, amen, are the instruments that, amen, God allowed to have this first child. Help me here. Somebody say amen. Amen. I think what joy in that mother. Amen. She realized that this was a divine gift. Amen. And a divine purpose in the birth of this child. And she called him Cain. Amen. She said, I have gotten, amen, a man from the Lord. But when her second child was born, she called him Abel. Amen. Abel, the name Abel means breath or vanity. I'm not sure why she gave Abel that name. Amen. It might have been because he was maybe a frail child and she feared that even just a slight breath would take him out of her arms. Amen. Or maybe it was because she had a forelook, amen, or a premonition that great sorrow would come to her life because of what would happen to this, amen, second child. Are y'all listening to me, Abel? Amen. It wasn't very long. We don't know how long before they had lived. Amen. They noted quite a difference in the personality and the character of these two brothers. Amen. When they reached, these two brothers reached manhood, I don't know about you. This is Savage commentary. I just figured they had several disagreements growing up. Have y'all ever had any children that had disagreements? Argued? Amen. Well, I got news for you. Cain and Abel were, amen, of the same, mentality. When they reached manhood, one became, amen, a tiller of the soil, and the other, amen, became a shepherd. Amen. A farmer and a shepherd, the two oldest occupations in the world, really. But when, are y'all listening to me? Amen. I'm not as strong as I used to be, but I'm going to give you all I've got tonight. When the command was given to build an altar, we don't know when that was. We don't have any insight as to when God told them to build an altar and make a sacrifice. We don't know. But it was evidently several years after Adam and Eve was driven out of the garden. And perhaps it might have been even after their two children were born. We don't know. Amen. But the altar was very important, and God made the altar important. I want to tell you, the altar is still important. I said, the altar is still important. Amen, amen. And so God told them to build the altar, and God told them what to do with the altar and how to make a sacrifice. Amen. And to that altar, Cain brought first fruits of the field, and Abel the first fruits of his flock. And the Bible said that the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Amen. What is the difference here? Amen. And I don't necessarily think it's in the offering itself. Amen. But I think it's in those that brought the offering. Amen. Come on here. If God rejected the offering of Cain, it must have been because there was something wrong down inside of Cain, down in his heart when he brought his offering. Perhaps he was even then jealous and envious of his brother. Amen. Come on here. Anybody listen to me now? Amen. Ah, brother. Amen. I think righteous Abel, the Bible said that by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith in what? By faith, faith in what? It wasn't the sacrifice that he had faith in. Come on here. Amen. It wasn't the lamb that he had laid on the altar that was he sacrificed that he had faith in. It wasn't even the altar that he had faith in, but it was in God. Amen. He believed God's word, and God gave them the instruction. I'm feeling better now. God gave them instructions how to build it, how to offer on it, and he said, I'll bless you when you make a sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When Cain, help me, Lord. When Cain's sacrifice was rejected, Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. I doubt that this is the first time he became angry. For the first time, the shadow of anger and hate darkened the countenance in the human race. Amen. But you see, God was very patient, even with Cain. Even though his sacrifice was not accepted, God was still patient with Cain. God pleaded with him and warned Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Amen, amen. "But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Amen. Come on here. There, for the first time, is spoken the terrible word sin. Amen. Anybody here remember Ralph Cox? Many, many years ago. Oh, I loved to hear Brother Cox preach. Some folks didn't, but I loved to hear him preach. Amen. He was the first man that I remember hearing years ago. Amen. When he pronounced that word sin, he put a sin. Amen. It's the word you have to hiss. Amen. When you say it, how terrible, amen, that word is. God, help me here. You see, God warned Cain, "If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door," or "crouches at the door." Amen. It's like, come on here, a lion that is about to pounce on its prey. Amen. The lion may be in a bush, and the prey out there is unaware that he's even there. But I want to tell you, that's the way sin is. You don't know how dangerous sin is until it pounces on you. Sin lieth at the door. But God said to Cain, amen, I think it's the second sermon I found in the Bible that God preached to man. The first sermon was when God talked with man and woman after their fall. Amen. Come on here. And drove them out of the Garden of Eden. In this sermon of God, how sin crouches at the door, awaiting its chance, is one which warns every one of us. Now I want to say, I got a whole lot. Whoo, Whitney, I'm going to get docked tonight. I'm going to tell y'all something. Amen. If the Lord will help me. This second sermon is a warning to all of us. Amen. That sin that was so besetting to you before you ever got saved. Come on here. Come on here. I mean, you need, after you get saved, to set a double guard against it. Because that same sin will crouch at your door again. Amen. Help me here. And you must be aware and always, amen, set a guard against that horrible sin that's brought you down to start with. Anybody listen to me, say amen. Amen. How many, amen, have spurned the warnings of God as Cain did? Amen. Did y'all know Balaam was warned, but in vain? Solomon was warned, but in vain. Judas was warned, but in vain. Peter was warned, but in vain. Amen. God does not want man to go down, amen, into that horrible pit without warning first. Amen. There is such a thing as called a conscience. And every time, come on here, every time you think about, amen, come on here, amen, that dirty joke that you heard 30 years ago, amen, your conscience says, change the subject. Hello, anybody here say amen? I remember when I was a teenager, amen, my daddy pastored the church at Leesburg, Virginia, Assembly of God Church. And I remember as a teenage boy, help me here, Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to anyhow. Amen. I had a dirty mouth. Preacher's kid, too. Anybody here? Amen. And God saved me when I was a teenager at the church there in Leesburg. And a few days after that, we lived in town, and I rode my little bicycle to school and back about six blocks away. And at dinner time, I'd ride my bicycle home, and Mama would have me a sandwich or two, and I'd get on my bicycle, come on here, and ride back to school. Amen. And amen. One day, I was on my way back to school, and some of those dirty words came into my mind. Does anybody listen to me? Now, you can't stop a thought, but you don't have to dwell on it. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair, Brother Jeremy. And I got on my bicycle, and those words started coming back to my mind. And I stopped my bicycle about a block away from the house, and I got off, amen, as a teenager, and I kicked the stand down, and I got off, and I said, "Now, devil, I got saved. Get that trash out of my mind. Praise God, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Praise God, I got back on my bicycle, rode the rest of the way to school, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. James warns us in his epistle, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. That is the finished product of sin. Amen. I want you to look at the sequence of sin. First, anger. Now, don't y'all fall out with me here. I want to tell you, I have never seen in all of my life church people that's got bitterness in their heart. I lost y'all right there. Church folks. Well, I want to tell you, you're going to have to overcome that bitterness. You got to get it through at the altar. Hello here. Somebody say amen. I talked with a man just this last few days. He came into my study at the church, and amen. Said he wanted to talk to me, and I listened. I have never heard so much bitterness come out of one human being, amen, in all of my life. And he went all the way back to his childhood. Amen. Come on here. And all of his brothers, that he had bitterness in his heart against them. Every place he had been, he didn't have much confidence in hardly anybody. There was always something that the devil, come on here, just a little old word that somebody said, are y'all still with me? Amen, that he should have just thrown it off and considered the source and go on. Amen, it became a mountain to him. I want to tell you, you need to get victory over that. Woo! Glory to God. I said you need to get victory over that. Amen, 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 amen. First, bitterness. And then comes anger. And if you don't get that took care of real quick, that will turn into envy. And then hate comes. And every time that individual's name is mentioned inside of you, I wish they were dead. Oh, help me, Lord. I want to tell you, anybody listen to me say amen? There's more ways than one to kill somebody. You can kill them with words. Ooh, help me, Lord. Amen. John tells us, amen, in 1 John 3:12, Cain slew his brother because of envy and jealousy, because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. That was the first, but not the last fatal blow that jealousy, amen, struck. How many hearts, how many homes, how many individuals has been destroyed and homes broken? Amen, amen. Anybody here? How many brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and friends has been alienated and separated because of that horrible anger that's in the heart? Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, and the coals thereof are coals of fire, which has a most behemoth flame. Amen. I'm not much on poetry. My wife loves poetry. But every once in a while, I will come across something that is worth remembering. In Shakespeare, and amen, when he wrote about the merchants of Venus, amen, he said, "Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on." Boy, I want to tell you, I've seen jealous people in church. Why did he call them up to sing? I can sing better than that. I lost y'all. Why does he always call on them to testify? He never calls on me. Lord, help me. I'm in trouble here tonight. Amen. Ah, that spirit, amen, is what got a hold of Cain. How soon, following God's warning, the struggle between Cain and Abel took place, I'm not sure. We're not told. Amen. It may have been one day. It might have been many days. It might have been a month. Amen. But the Bible said in verse 8, amen, but one day when they were in the field, amen, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. We don't even know what the discussion was. We don't know what they talked about. Come on here. Amen. Come on, come on. Stay with me here. It's probably their discussion probably wound up, amen, about Abel's sacrifice being accepted and his sacrifice being, amen, rejected. And amen, the more they talked, come on here, the more they talked, amen, the madder Cain got. Amen, the angrier he became, until at length, amen, he lifted up, I don't know whether it's a stone or a club or a tree limb or I don't know what it was. Amen, but he struck Abel down. Come on here. Amen, what a tragedy in this family. Amen. Lord Byron, amen, in the great drama that he wrote about Cain, amen, in Lord Byron's drama, he represented Cain as being amazed at the silence of Abel. Amen. He said Cain was looking for the first time in the face of death and pleaded with Abel to speak to him, asking, "Who makes me brotherless?" Amen. But I want to tell you, there is no suggestion in the narrative of the Bible that Cain did anything of the sort. Matter of fact, amen, it appears to me that he became very hard-hearted and defiant. Amen. And when God said, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Cain pretended to be ignorant. Amen. "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Amen. I wonder if Cain really thought. Now, God talked with Cain on several occasions. He knew the voice of God. Amen. His daddy had told him about talking with God. Did Cain really think
that God didn't know where Abel was? Amen. Did Cain really think that God didn't know what happened to him? Amen. Lying somewhere in a shallow grave or hidden in the bushes? Amen. Now Cain learns that his deed cannot be hid or concealed from God anymore. He hears the inevitable sentence upon sin. The wages of sin is death. God says now to Cain, help me here. The clock's running faster than I am. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain made an enemy out of God. But also he made an enemy out of the earth itself. Because God said the earth is cursed because of what you have done. The earth has opened, amen, its mouth to receive the blood of the murdered Abel. Amen. Abel perhaps might not have said anything to his brother when he was struck to the ground. Amen. But we hear Abel's blood talking to God. Amen. Amen. And he learns now that, amen, he not only killed his brother, now he has sentenced his own death. Amen. Killed his own conscience. Killed his own mind. Amen. If the deed when it is done was all that was to it, it wouldn't be so bad. But I want to tell you, that's just the beginning. Amen. Sin when it's done is not done. Sin is never done until the blood of Jesus washes it away. Cain said, my punishment is more greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. I'm talking to you this evening about the boulevard of broken dreams. What prospects that first family had. Amen. But look at the tragedy. The Bible tells us that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Those words, those two words, went out. Amen. I think that probably tells the sad and changeless story of sin. Adam and Eve sinned and went out of the garden. Cain sinned and went out from the presence of the Lord. Jacob sinned against his brother Esau and his father and went out from his father's house. Absalom sinned when he slew his brother and went out from his father's house and his native land. Peter sinned when he denied his Lord and went out and wept bitterly. The prodigal son sinned and went out and down into a far country. Judas sinned, amen, when he had received the sop at the Last Supper. Amen. Come on here. When he and the Lord reached and, come on, are y'all still with me? Amen. It might have been a bowl of gravy. I love gravy. Amen. But they both reached into the bowl at the same time. And the Lord said, the man that reacheth with me, amen, the same as he that betrayeth me. Amen. And Cain, amen, and all these others went out. Amen. Come on here. And when Judas, amen, went out from that Last Supper, amen, the Bible said he went out and it was night. Amen. I want to tell you, when you leave God's house, when you leave his altar, when you leave a good pastor, come on, am I doing all right? When you leave good saints, amen, it's always going to the dark side. Amen. When Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, I thought, when I read this story in the fourth chapter, he probably preached the great sermon on the wages of sin. Sin separates a man from his friends. Here it broke up the first family with such good prospects. Amen. The real separation among friends and families is not the separation of sickness or death, but the separation that is caused by sin and jealousy and bitterness and anger and hate. Come on, somebody say amen. I read again the story about Judas going out, and it was night. I wonder, this is just savage commentary. You probably won't get nothing out of it, but I just wonder if Judas might have looked over his shoulder and saw that candle-lit window and said, I have lost my best friend and all of my friends. Come on here. Could it be that sin separates you from everything that is right, everything that is holy? It'll separate you even from yourself, from the peace that you have. Amen. You become a fugitive from your own conscience. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 8 and 36 said, he that sinneth against God wrongeth his own soul. Amen. I spoke to you earlier about Byron, Lord Byron, in the article and the drama that he wrote. Amen. Byron missed the idea when he put regret and remorse in the mind and speech of Cain, because there is no such, amen, inclusion in the scripture. Immediately after he murdered his brother, amen. I wonder what it was like to Cain when he struck his brother and saw him on the ground. I don't know if he wiggled for a moment. I don't know if blood ran out of his ears and nose and mouth. For the first time, amen, come on here. He saw, amen, his brother was dead. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, Lord Byron didn't miss it. Amen. When he described the departure of Cain from the presence of the Lord, amen, and went to the land of Nod, amen. And after he, help me here, after he says his farewell to Abel, Cain takes his wife Ada and his children and starts eastward from Eden. Amen. Lord Byron said, eastward from Eden will we take our way. Tis the most desolate and suits my steps. Hebrews 12, I mentioned it earlier. You're coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood a sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I want to tell you, we have a new covenant. Amen. It's a whole lot better than the Old Testament covenant. Come, Whitney. Amen. Amen. Better things than the blood of Abel. Amen. In the deep tragedy here of Cain and Abel, amen, the singular and in some ways the most impressive thing is the silence of Abel. Abel never speaks. There's no record that Abel said a word, amen, when he was struck or after he was struck. It is only after he had been slain and the earth had opened her mouth to drink the blood that Abel begins to speak. The blood of Abel, thy brother, crieth unto me from the ground. I want to tell you, your sin, you think it only affects you. I've had people tell me what I'm doing is only because that's what I want to do and it only affects me. But I got news for you. It affects your progeny. It affects your children. It affects your home. It affects your wife or your husband. Amen. You can't stop sin from having an effect upon everybody close to you.
Amen. The blood of Abel spoke of sin and its punishment, but the blood of Jesus speaks of forgiveness. The blood of Abel spoke of hate, but the blood of Jesus speaks of love. The blood of Abel spoke of separation. Cain going out from the presence of the Lord. But the blood of Jesus speaks of reconciliation. The blood of Abel spoke of fear. But the blood of Jesus speaks of peace. Praise God. The blood of Abel spoke of death. Amen. Which is the wages of sin. But the blood of Jesus speaks of eternal life, which is the gift of God. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus. Do y'all understand tonight that He is a God that wants to forgive? He will forgive. He will wash the slate clean as though it had never been. Come on here. Amen. If you do well, Cain, shall it not be well with you? God wants us. He would have, come on here, He would have set Cain aright if Cain had not been persistent in his sin and harboring the hurt feelings in his heart. Amen. Don't y'all fall out with me here. But I've seen husbands and wife live in the same house and yet are strangers. Help me here. That's not God's will. There ought to be peace and unity in that home. It only comes because Jesus loves you. Sing with everybody. Stand.
Blood of Jesus shed for me.
Oh, come on, let's gather in around this altar. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Got a warning and also a consolation. It's the grace of God that warns us of the folly of our decisions.
And
at the same time, offers us the blood, forgiveness. Come on, let's seek the Lord tonight. Let's seek the Lord this evening.
Mountain.
Come on, come on, come on. Thank God for the blood.
And it flows.